In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing, and we're on volume 21, March 5th, 1927. And Jesus says, or Louisa says, then I was continuing to pray and I was almost asleep. But all of a sudden, I heard someone speak in a loud voice within me. And, you know, since Jesus is the Word, Jesus is always speaking. And when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus is speaking to us. He is waiting for us to, you know, focus on him and to listen to him. And again, this is very essential for the spiritual life. And this is why you need spiritual direction. Every one of us needs that spiritual direction. Saint Teresa said that if you are directing yourself, you'll direct yourself into hell. This is very an unfortunate situation for most people. Most people want to do what they want to do. I've had numerous people say, I'm sure God wants me to do this and therefore I'm going to do it. And I would say, you know, it's really not, you know, a good thing to go in this direction. And they would say, no, I know this is what God wants. And, everyone was wrong, because we don't hear correctly. We don't discern correctly. This is why there's 40,000 Protestant denominations. Everyone says, no, this is what Jesus is saying in Scripture. No, this is what Jesus is saying in sacred Scripture. And, you know, they have good intentions, but then they split and they split and it's fractured. The only way that the saints have taught us is through reviewing your life, you know, with a director and say, okay, this is what I think God is saying to me. This is what I think God is directing me to do. You know, I'm placing it in your hands. And that's why Jesus said, if you're reading the calendar, Jesus said to Louisa, you have to trust the spiritual direction as you trust me, Jesus says. And and I remember one time, well, numerous times, Louisa would say, Louisa, my spiritual director is saying this. You're saying this. You know, you're saying to obey, but I know this is not what Jesus is asking. And Jesus says, obedience is the most important thing at this point, learning obedience. And he says, if the spiritual director is wrong, I will direct him. I will teach him. I will show him through your obedience. I remember one priest, a friend of mine, told me that when he was in the Carmelites, he had to, this is what they did in the summer. They moved all the logs from one side of the field to the other side of the field. That was their job. And the next year, they would move all the logs that were here back to where they were. And after a couple of years, most, he said, of the seminarians just quit. They said, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This doesn't make sense. You know, if you want them over there, you leave them over there. If you want them over here, you leave them over here. And the whole thing was about obedience. It was all about to obey direction. And I mean, even, you know, as a teen, being in the seminary, you'd have to sit in silence, still. You have to be still in silence for half an hour in the morning, half an hour at night, in prayer. And that was the hardest thing in the world to do, is to sit, not moving. They would say, you know, sit as if you're invisible, that no one sees you, that you just become part of the scenery. Sit. And that pain, that suffering of as a teenager, to sit perfectly still helps later on. Because when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, what happens is most of us begin to understand that we don't love Jesus. We say we love Jesus, but when we're silent in front of him without reading, without just looking at Jesus in the monstrance, what happens to a lot of us is we don't know what to say. Well, what I've said enough. I what do I do now? And St. Teresa says, if you can't think of anything, if you can't fall in love with God, read a paragraph and then focus on Jesus again and adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and bless him and worship him and glorify him. But in the divine will, Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into my life, adoring me with my adoration, praising with me with my praise, loving me with my love. So what we're doing is we're entering into that image and likeness of God. And we begin to recognize that we don't love God as we think we do. So a half an hour seems like an eternity. An hour seems like an eternity until we enter into this gift of adoring God with God's adoration. What happens at that point is the half an hour is like a minute. The hour is like a minute. Time and space just disappear. You enter into that contemplative life, but you have to discipline yourself to do this. And this is, she was continuing to pray and I was almost asleep when all of a sudden I heard someone speak in a loud voice within me. This is what God is waiting for us to do, is to hear him. He says, in volume 36, I gave you your senses to see God and to hear God and to smell God and to taste God and to touch God. And people have said to me, well, scripture says no mere man can see God and live. Well, that's true, because nobody really spends the time trying to see God. And as Catholics, we do see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We look at him. We fall in love with him. And we begin to repeat that refrain that Louisa repeated continuously. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And it's God breathes into us his I love you. We breathe back out to him his I love you. We take what he has given us. What can we give to God? What can a human give to God? You know, there's nothing we can do. God is God, Almighty, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. With this breathing in of this I love you, we give back to God his I love you. That's what the divine will is. It's not doing the will of God like the saints have learned, but living in the will of God. So she says, I paid closer attention. And this is what we have to do when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Spend closer attention to God. You know, not to see things, not to hear things, not to, you know, it's to get closer to God, to fall more in love with our Lord. She says, I paid closer attention. That's falling in love. And I saw my beloved Jesus with his arms raised in the act of embracing me. See, the Lord, this is why we wear the wedding ring. We want to recognize that this proposal of Jesus, we've accepted this proposal of Jesus. Jesus came to earth for a bride, and he's going to marry the church collectively, but he wants to marry each and every one of us individually. And he says to Louisa, it will be as if you had your own personal Jesus. So our Lord is asking us, he's pleading with us to turn back to him so that we can enter into this deeper union with him. And so here she says, he's raising his arms to embrace me. Again, going back to sleeping in the arms of Jesus, resting in the arms of Jesus. We have to learn how to sit on the lap of God, as Luis had learned. This is where God wants us. And we learn it through Louisa. We learn it through the saints. We've learned that volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. And then volume 11 through 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what we're learning. And what we're seeing is in this time that we're in, things are getting more difficult. It seems like worldwide, more and more, there's more and more suffering. And Jesus shows us that this is the birth pains of the kingdom coming. This is the birth pains. And with birth pains, they become more frequent and more intense. And yes, there is suffering. Yes, there is difficulties. But when we get close to our Lord, what happens is we recognize that he is the one that's suffering. And we say to him, you know, I'll take your place for a second, for a minute, to go through what you're going through physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And Jesus says, after that suffering, he says, rest in my arms. Let me console you. Let me take care of you. You know, the most humanity ignores the sufferings of Jesus. Most of humanity doesn't follow the direction that Jesus gave to Louisa. For example, Jesus says, yes, there is suffering. He says that this is part of the, you know, sharing his cross with us is the abundant life that we're receiving. To be in God's image and likeness is to be in God's image and likeness. And this is the most powerful likeness, suffering. And this is why we're praying to become victim souls. But the victimhood that we are asked to go through is to no longer be worried, be fearful, be anxious, complaining, or negative. This has to disappear from us. What Jesus says is to live in the divine will is to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. So the consequences of becoming a victim is to enter into this abundant life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. And the peace, the joy, the happiness is there, yes, but also the suffering is there. The cross is there. Our life is there. And God is asking us to enter into this. But what we see here, I paid closer attention and I saw my beloved Jesus with his arms raised in the act of embracing me. So the Lord wants to get closer to us on his terms, not on our terms. And he knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what needs to be gone in our life to embrace him. And that's why the worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin has to leave. It has to go. It can't be part of our lives anymore. And this is what the Lord is showing. He says, with a powerful voice, this is the word of God. This is the powerful voice that Jesus speaks to us when we read the book of heaven. He's always speaking to us. And this is why Louisa put everything down on paper, so that we can hear Jesus. We can begin to train our ears to hear him. And it's the same way of training ourselves not to, you know, shuffle our feet when we're kids in church. We train ourselves not to be focused on exterior, but enter into that interior life with Christ. She says, my daughter, I, God, ask nothing else from you. Okay, now this is important. This is what Jesus said to Louisa. Now he's saying it to us. I, as God, ask nothing else from you but this. So, okay, now we have to be attentive. What does Jesus want to show us? What does Jesus want to teach us? That you be the daughter. You be the mother. You be the sister of my will. So remember when Jesus says, who is my mother, my brother? Who is my sister? It's the ones that do the will of God. Well, Jesus is saying what he said 2,000 years ago is now going to bear fruit in the souls who are giving their yes to this. Yes, I will be your daughter. Yes, I will be your mother. Yes, I will be the sister of your most holy divine will. Because this is what you ask. This is all that you ask. So what we're doing is in reading is we're entering into this intimate relationship with God, as a mother and a child, as a daughter and a parent, as a sister to your sibling. This blood relationship, this is what God is calling us to. And what's happening to a lot of us is the life that we had before with our family, our blood family, at this point seems to be strained, where you want to share with them this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, and they don't want it. And what Jesus is showing us is that we're entering into this family of Louisa. What's the family of Louisa? This is what Archbishop Echeri asked us to be part of, the little family of Louisa. What is this family? It's the family that Louisa is bringing us to. And it's also a blood relationship. It's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. The new Adam and the new Eve. We are the firstborn with Louisa, the newborn of the divine will. We enter into this life where Jesus is teaching us we have to let go of everything that we love. That's the most difficult thing for humanity, is to let go of the things that they love humanly, because that's all we know at this point. We know human love. And it doesn't mean you get divorced. It doesn't mean that you not have nothing to do with your family. We begin to understand that you love God with your whole heart and your whole mind and all your soul and all your strength. You enter into this life of oneness with God. And that is the life of the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what Louisa was given. This life, this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. So the Lord is asking us, he's saying to us, I've got things that I want to show you that I have not shown to any of the saints, but what I showed to Adam before the fall. I want you to enter into this life, this intimacy with God that Adam had when God breathed into the dust the image and likeness of God. He says, this is what Jesus is calling us to. So what he's asking of us is that the divine will become our everything. And that's what he says. He says, when I find the souls who've made the divine will their everything, because of them, I will give this to the whole world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. You know, doesn't matter if you've been reading, for 40 years, 50 years, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you keep on surrendering to God, keep on dying to self. This victimhood is what God is looking for, that we say to him, all I want is what you want. All I want is to enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And that's why he says, I as God ask nothing else from you but this, that you become the daughter, the mother, the sister of my divine will. You enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary, so close to Jesus and Mary that it's a blood relationship. You enter into this abundant life with them. And so our God is pleading with us to have that fiat that God asked of Abraham when he says, leave Ur and go into Canaan. Go into a foreign country. And we don't have to do that, but that leaving everything behind to enter into a pagan land. I mean, that was, you know, think about that. So once he gets in there, God had to test Abraham even more. And he says, I want you to sacrifice your only beloved. That's what Our Lady did at Calvary. She sacrificed her son for us. See, to give up the things that are human to enter into the things that are divine means that there has to be a sacrifice. And for us, it's the things that are human that we have to give up. We have to surrender the things that are human. I know so many of my seminarian friends who would choose not to be a priest. And they were good guys. They were good guys. And when I see them, there's always a sadness in their life. There's always a sadness because they love their family. They love their wife. They love their children. But they know that if they had sacrificed a little more, they would be priests. And that sadness is in their eyes. It's in their words, because they know if I could do it, they could have done it. And yet the trials, the tribulations that each of us has to go through can become overwhelming, and we flee from what God is calling us to. It's the same thing with the divine will. When Jesus said to the thousands who are with him, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood," what did they do? They all went, "Hey, this is a tough one. I don't think I can do it." And they left him. They fled. It's the same thing with the divine will. Jesus says, the divine will is everything. Where he says, "I want you to become my son, my daughter, my mother, my brother, my sister in the divine will. I want you to participate in this abundant life." And that means that the things on the human things, the human loves around us have to disappear. They just have to go. Now, why? It's not because they're wrong. It's that Jesus has a call, especially in the divine will. He's saying, would you let go of everything so that you can begin to share in divinity? That's what the priest does every day of Holy Mass. When you hear the priest say that, when you watch the priest put the drop of water into the chalice, we should be yelling, screaming with inside us, "Yes, I want this. I want to enter into this abundant life. I want to share in your divinity. I want this." Why? Because you want this, Lord. That's why he says, "I ask of nothing else of you." Then you become a brother, a sister, a son or daughter, a mother to me. That intimacy is what God is looking for. So what does he do? He gives us the book of heaven. There was a time when we didn't have the books. All we had was sheets of paper. Somebody graciously translated something in the 36 volumes. Well, we really didn't have, all we had is volume 1 through volume 19. We never had volume 20 through volume 36 until 1996. And then since then, we didn't have it in English until 2005, all of it. And what does this mean? What happened in 2005? Once we got everything in English, the cause of Luisa Picaretta in Trani, Italy was finished. It was done. And they said to the Vatican, "We believe Luisa should be canonized. We find nothing against faith and morals in all of her writings." And that's what's so amazing about this gift. See, it's the language of heaven, and we have to study this language. We have to learn this language. Why? So that we can hear what God is saying to us. And it's like learning French for the first time or learning Italian for the first time. You go, "I thought that word meant that word. I thought this meant this." And there's a lot of misunderstandings with Luisa because we're not fluent in this language of heaven yet. Well, that Saint Francis said that. Saint Clare said that. Saint Thomas said this, and it doesn't mean this. Well, when you really focus on it, what Jesus is saying is he's opening up to us a new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul talked about. This new and divine way of holiness is how God is going to ask us to live. It's not about good being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. And that's why he says, once you become the daughter, the mother, the sister of my divine will, this intimacy, that you place that in it in safety within you, all its rights, all its honor, all its glory. So God says, what do you want? 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? And it's up to us. What do we do with all the rights that Jesus is talking about? All the honor that Jesus is talking about? All the glory that Jesus is talking about in the most holy divine will? What is it that we how are we living? What do we possess that the saints, Jesus says, did not have when they were on earth? What didn't they have? They didn't have the Book of Heaven. They didn't have Luisa to teach them. See, Jesus and Mary have given everything to Luisa to teach them, to train her so that she could begin to live this abundant life. So when we go back to that sacrifice of Abraham, that sacrifice of Abraham comes in many, many ways. For most of us, it's instead of this situation, Jesus says, I want you to live this situation. Okay, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. You know, that has to be part of our life. You know, what we're going through now is becoming victims in the divine will. And everybody goes, that's the last thing I want. Yes, absolutely. We don't love suffering. We want to enter into this abundant life of Jesus and Mary. And the way they lived it was through prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, more than what the saints did. It's not the same thing that Jesus and Mary did that all the saints have done. It's to enter into this abundant life, to begin to live the life that Adam lost, image and likeness of God. And that's why generosity, there's two types of people. There's givers and there's takers. The givers are happy. The takers are never happy. They have to keep on taking, keep on getting to what they want. And so Jesus frees us. That's the human. Jesus frees us of that so that we can be like Jesus. Why was he born in a cave? You know, why? He says, the littleness and poverty is what I love. So what do we do with our lives? Do we live a life that is a life that's separate from the world? You know, get as much as you want, as often as you want, from anybody you want. That's what the world says. And what we say is, how did Jesus live? How did Jesus do this? How did Mary do this? How did they teach? What did they teach Luisa? And he says very, very clearly, all that I, God, ask of you is nothing else that you become my daughter, my son, you become my mother, you become my brother, you become my sister in my divine will. Why? So that you can place in safety within you all the rights, all the honors, all the glory that Jesus had, that Mary had. See, it's to enter into this abundant life that God is waiting for. And it's not that you're reading and you possess this gift. Luisa read for the last 9 years of her life alone, isolated. And, in that room, that final room where she lived, right across the street from where St. Cataldo Church used to be. And, what's really interesting, I got to be in that room one day, and there was a guy smoking a cigarette watching TV, and the priest said to me, this is where Luisa died, right where this elderly man was smoking a cigarette and watching TV. And I went, you know, this is a place. I mean, this is where she entered into heaven, right here from this room. And nobody knew about it. Very, very few people have been in that room. It's not owned by the diocese. But it would be a great thing to have. We have, where was Louisa born? She was born down the street of the, right across the street from Our Lady of the Greca Church, on top of the roof where the penthouses, this is where the poor lived. The heat from the house would keep the floor warm. And the poor people, the generous souls, would give the poor people a place to stay in the penthouse. So think about the penthouse. That's where Louisa was born. And then where she lived in Association Louisa Picaretta, that building there. She also lived for 10 years down the street at St. Anthony's Orphanage. She lived in Corrado. And Jesus says, when St. Honorable de Francia said to Louisa, you have to come to Messina with me, it's Sicily. She says, Jesus doesn't want me to leave Corrado. And he goes, okay, I'll build the orphanage in Corrado, and then you'll be with me. You'll be with my sisters. But you see, what God is asking is, it doesn't matter where you're living, that you become a blood relation with Jesus and Mary. You enter into this life that Adam was supposed to give to his children. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. And that's why God is asking us, yes, good and holy and saintly are important, but that's not the goal. The goal is what the priest pours in the chalice every day. May we share in the divinity of Christ. That drop of water entering into that chalice fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. God wants us to enter into this abundant life. He says, that's the only thing I ask. I ask of nothing else. And then he says, with a loud and powerful voice, and then lowering his voice and hugging me, he added, my daughter, the reason for which I wanted the rights of my eternal fiat to be secured is that I, God, want to enclose the most holy Trinity in the soul. It's again, this is not about being good and holy and saintly. I, God, want to enclose the most holy Trinity in your soul. This is what God wants. This is what God has planned. This is what's going to happen for the souls who want to live in the divine will. So what does the Father do? And again, the key to the divine will is volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Jesus says, the Father wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth. So under the paternity of the Father is the maternity of Mary. Under Jesus, Son of God, is Jesus, Son of Mary. Under the Holy Spirit is Louisa, and the soul is linked to Louisa. So what do we do in the morning when we do our prevenient act? We go to the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we say, I want to be fused with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I want to be fused with you the way you have shown Louisa. And that's through Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I want to be fused with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Why? So that I can be fused with all of creation, all the I love yous of creation that you gave to me and to all mankind. I want to enter into this I love you of God, of all creation. I want to enter into this I love you of God of all of redemption, all that Jesus and Mary have done to redeem us. But that's not the end. Now I want to enter into sanctification. I want to enter into this abundant life of the Holy Trinity with the reflection of the Holy Trinity on earth, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And so that prayer, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics, is about us, hopefully. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. Going back to where Adam was before the fall, to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, recreated. Why? Because we're reading, studying, and putting into practice these truths. so that you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Everything's going to change. Everything is very close. The kingdom is very, very close. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us, do you begin to understand why I have planned for you to be alive at this time? Why I planned, I as God planned that you be living at this time? Because I'm going to give you the book of heaven. I'm going to give you everything that I said to Louisa so that you can read this, you can study this, you can put this into practice. You can begin to live, as he says, I want to enclose the most holy Trinity within your soul. It's not about just, this is not another holy thing to do. Well, my Carmelite friends, they say, I already have John of the Cross. I already have Teresa of Avila. We don't need another saint. And I try, this is not a saint. this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. My Byzantine friends, I say, according to the tradition of the church, according to the ancients of the church, this. I said, yeah, that's close to what Jesus is showing us. He wants to open the door to the kingdom. He wants us to enter into this abundant life of what? Because he says, I want to enclose the most holy Trinity in your soul. To enclose the most holy Trinity in your soul. You see what Jesus is doing. And he's given us the way and the how this is going to happen as we read every day, as we study every day, as we put into practice every day the book of heaven. The way and the how this is going to happen for each and every one of us. Louisa has the fullness of it. He says, you're the firstborn who has possessed this gift. You are the newborn who has possessed this gift of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now Jesus says, I want all mankind. Now is the time. I want all mankind to enter into this abundant life. He says this, my divine will alone can give us, triune God, the place and the glory worthy of us, triune God. If we don't have the divine will reigning in us, he says the triune God won't have a place, won't have glory worthy of God in us. So he says through holy baptism, we enter into God's image. With the book of heaven and what we read, what we study, we're getting, as he says here, a place, giving God a place and glory worthy of the triune God within us. This is what he's planning. And little by little, you know, like I said about sitting still as a teenager, the discipline is necessary. You know, you pray every day whether you want to or not. Okay. Once you enter into the divine will and you have the echo book, you can learn every prayer that Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. It's not the prayer of the saints. I have people saying to me, I wrote this beautiful prayer of the divine will. And I read it. I go, well, that's not divine will. That's a good prayer. That's a holy prayer. That's a saintly prayer, but it's not divine will. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. It points to this. I said, no, it's not. You're praying the way the saints prayed for 2,000 years. Jesus is now saying, I want you to pray the way I prayed, the way my mother prayed. Not the way the saints taught us. I mean, they're good and holy and saintly. But Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into praying in the divine will. That's why the Echo Book is so powerful. When you listen, when you pray the Echo Book, your prayer life completely changes because you're not praying through the direction of a saint. This isn't Louisa that's teaching us. This is Jesus. He says to Louisa, this is what I want you to say. And Louisa wrote it down. This is how I want you to pray. Louisa wrote it down. So when we focus on the Echo Book, It helps us begin to understand that the prayers that God is calling us to is not, we haven't learned it from the saints. It's to learn it from Jesus and Mary. Like Our Lady said, I will teach you new and powerful prayers, more of heaven than of earth. He says, I will teach you a life of heaven and no longer the life of earth. See, the kingdom is coming. And we got to get ready for the kingdom. If you want to say, what's the passport to get into the kingdom? It's to live the kingdom now is the book of heaven. And as we read this, as we study this, as Jesus keeps on revealing to us through his word what he wants us to hear, we won't hear it. He's given us the way and the means. He says, the reason I gave you the book of heaven to Louisa is through you, Louisa, the world will begin to live this abundant life. It's like the Franciscans. You want to be a Franciscan? You follow Francis. You dress like Francis. You listen to Francis's prayers. You listen to Francis's directions. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's about sharing in divinity. He says very clearly, the only thing, I want nothing else from you that you become my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister. This is what he's saying. And he says, so what is he doing? He says, so I can place within you the rights, the honor, the glory of God. He says, so that I want to enclose in you the most holy divine Trinity in your soul. That becomes the residence, the place of honor within us. And he says, so that my divine will alone, what you're reading, what you're studying, what you're putting into practice, can give the triune God the glory and the place, the glory and the place worthy of the triune God. And then he says, and through it, we triune God can operate freely. We triune God can place in your soul all the good of creation. See, that's why you want to fuse yourself with creation, forming even more beautiful things than in creation. Because within our will and the soul, we triune God can do everything, image and likeness. While without it, we would lack the place to which we put ourselves, in which to lay our works. So not being free, we remain back in our celestial residence. So Jesus says, the kingdom is here for those who want it. The kingdom begins for those who want it now. It's not after we die. He says true resurrection is to rise from the dead of the human to enter into the life of the divine. And Jesus says it's not after you die. He says it's to begin to live this life abundantly now. So the Lord has got great plans. And he, out of all humanity, he has given us the book of heaven. We're nobodies. We're nothings. We don't deserve anything. Yet Jesus says, I will use you, linked to Louisa, to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So why are we here? Why are we alive today? Because God has plans, not us. And when we have our plans in line, God says, can you give it up? Can you sacrifice it? Like the sacrifice of Abraham? So that I can bring you to where I have planned, not where you have planned. So I'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children hold their divine will, become divinely healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and see you next week.